Okay. Why is truth unstable? This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing, Absolute Monastery, School of the Master, University of Philosophy, all these good things here in Campo, California, bringing you Absolute Philosopher. Why is truth unstable? Truth is unstable because there is no such thing as truth. You say, well, for goodness sakes, religions teach the truth and schools teach the truth and so forth. Well, what is truth? Truth is whatever we make it. You look at something and you say, that's the truth. You hear about something and you say, that's the truth. You have people tell you things and you say, that's the truth. Your mommy and daddy tells you things, that's the truth. You tell your children things, that's the truth. The truth is so variable, so undependable, so irascible, because truth is whatever we believe, whatever our concept is, whatever. There is no truth. Truth cannot exist because truth is not a singular thing. Truth is a many-faceted thing according to the way we define it. What is what we're really talking about when we say truth? What we're really talking about when we say truth is what we believe, what we think for ourselves, what we find as the most important, the most monumental, the most valuable concept in life. What is it that you use as your lodestone? What do you use as your guide? What do you use as your symbol to live your life by? What do I use as my symbol to live my life by? Well, I use, as I say so often, as my symbol to guide my life, unconditional love. I think that if I love myself unconditionally, and I love my creation unconditionally, I have a very wonderful life. I have a life filled with happiness and joy and peace. I have a life filled with magic, with things that are all a blessing to me. That's my truth. My truth is what I believe. And that's truly what truth really means, what you believe. Now, what do I believe? What do you believe? What do we believe? What are the things that make our belief structure? Well, we start out in life in our original purity and integrity. Do you believe that? We are born in our original purity and integrity. We are born absolutely divine. We are born without any limitations, without any faults, any things that are limiting us. Well, you say, well, what if you're born a mongoloid? What if you're born with a body disease or injury? What if you're born with anything? Hey, we may be born with these things, and that's another story we'll get into another time, but we may be born with these limitations, but how do we respond to the limitations? Do we respond to the limitations as though they're not there? Now, what if you were born into a community of mongoloid people, and everybody was a mongoloid person? You wouldn't think much about it. That would be normal. What if you were born in a community where everybody had some sort of disease? We don't need to name diseases. That's bad enough to say mongoloid. But where everyone has a disease X. And then everybody goes around with the disease X, and it's just a common, ordinary thing. Now, what if you were born in a world where the feeling of joy and peace and harmony was primary? That was what most people wanted and dreamed and lived and did. What if you were born into a world that everything was perfect, and that your mother and father would say to you, just as you're coming out of the womb, welcome, little genius, welcome, little genius, welcome. And what would you do if you were raised with your parents saying, you're a genius? Inside of you is all knowledge, all wisdom. Everything that ever was, will be, and could be is in you right now. And you know how to draw it forth. You are so wonderful and such a genius. You can draw forth that infinite wisdom that dwells within you, that infinite beingness that dwells within you right now. What if our parents were to tell us, walk on the water, come on. Come on, levitate. Do these things. What if our parents were to say that to us? We would say, hey, great. And then if our parents would demonstrate that to us, we would say, puh, fiddlesticks, nothing to it. You see, our role models have to be true role models to whatever it is they expect us to be. And if our parents, as role models, say, you're little geniuses, and they themselves don't believe it of themselves, then we sometimes neglect to believe it about ourselves. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we were able to raise little Christ childs, everybody being an absolute magnificent Christ child? That doesn't mean being a Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean having the life that he'd lived or the world that he lived, but having the consciousness. And this consciousness we have come to label as being pretty nice. Pretty nice. We can say the God consciousness, the Christ consciousness. We can say the human consciousness. We can say divine consciousness. We can say all these various words, and that's kind of nice. But now, what is the truth? What is it that our parents can live up to? Well, now, our father might be a good farmer, and he might raise good crops. He might raise good cattle or whatever he might be raising. And we watch and learn from him how to do that. Now, whenever a problem comes up in his raising of his crops, he doesn't say to the family, oh, God, what's going on here? My crops are having trouble. He says, I see that we're going to have a dry season ahead. Now, it's up to me whether I'm going to say we're going to have a dry season and then plant crops that can grow with less water, or I am going to surround my land with my pure white light of love, and I'm going to see moisture in abundance everywhere on my property, fertilizing, nourishing, nurturing my crops in a very beautiful, wonderful way. Now, on the surface, you would look at that man and you'd say, you're an idiot. Do you think you got the power to speak to the heavens, to God, and say, let it rain? Well, one guy up in Nebraska, I believe it was, someplace there, many years ago, the Reader's Digest ran an article about it. His land, his several hundred acres of land, was grain fields, I think it was thousands of acres, and his land alone grew abundantly. Every night the rain fell on his land only. And right to the border, right to the edge of his land, right to the smidgling edge. And it looked strange in that dry country. And his neighbors came to him and said, my goodness sakes, what have you done? And he said, well, I just prayed for rain for my property. I just saw everything raining. I saw the land blooming with all the verdant crops, and everything was wonderful. But that doesn't work that way. Well, it works that way for me. And then he ceased to be in association with his neighbors. He went only in himself. He went only in himself because if he would associate with his neighbors, he would soon have their attitude about his crops. If he associated with his neighbors, he'd soon have their limited attitude about whatever it was that he was growing in his fields. And it would be tough. And he would say, what do I do now? What do I do now? Well, you see, that's where we're at. Are you ready to stand up strongly just for yourself and be just for yourself? Be the truth of what you believe, the truth that you do have good crops, that you do have a good household, that you do have a good family, that you do have a good life, that you do have everything in divine order. Can you stand up for that? Can you believe that? Can you live that? Can you know that that's the truth about you? Can you be so confident, so wonderful in everything that you do, that you are untouchable? But you see, you cannot associate with others who have a different point of view. If you are a good Catholic, be with the Catholics. If you're a good Baptist, be with the Baptists. This is just natural. Scientists go around with other scientists. Medical doctors, they go around with other medical doctors. It's just natural. I say birds of a feather flock together. Well, that's very true. Now, what kind of a bird, what kind of feather do you have? Does it say that I like me, I'm divine order? Is that your truth? Is your truth that my crops are green and verdant? Is your truth that if a fire comes around in the neighborhood and you say, I surround my property with my pure white light of love, and so it be it, and let it be? And then not have any concern about the fire, not have any concern about any of these things. Can you do that? The evidence is whether you are burned out or not. Are you willing to stand up for what you believe? Does there have to be anything like that in your world? Does there ever have to be any type of pain and suffering, as we spoke of before? Does there ever have to be that? And the answer is no. But what must there be? There must be you believing in yourself. There must be you having your own confidence in the truth of what you believe, and your awareness that this is your truth, and you will speak to it, live it, demonstrate it, role model it in everything that you do, because that's who you are, and you care less about anything else. Are you willing for this? Are you ready for this? Is this where you stand? Is this what's important to you? Is this what you believe? Well, if it's what you believe, then put that cause in motion and watch the wonderful things happen. Nurture that idea. Nurture that garden of your heart. And the garden of your heart will have the most glorious crop of lovely flowers of health, harmony, peace, right action, truth, goodness, abundance, love. Oh, yes. Why is truth unstable? Because we're constantly making it. We're constantly creating it. We're constantly enfolding it. We're constantly accepting it. And we're constantly rejecting it. What is your truth that you're living by? Figure it out. All you got to do is look at your life, and you know what you have chosen as truth for you. So this day, choose the truth for you that unconditional love endorses, and that is, all is good and very good. Have a wonderful day, and know that I love you, I love you, I love you.